Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We are about to conclude our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that great chapter on love. And we have come to the final section, which talks about the permanence of love, telling us that love endures forever. It never fails. It never comes to an end. It is permanent. Telling us that the gifts are temporary. They will cease, we are clearly told in verse 8. And the incomplete will give away to the complete. That which is perfect, the perfect thing, the perfect state, will endure. That which is not is going to pass away. And so all of that brings us to the last verse of the chapter, verse 13, which we're going to look at as carefully as we can on the broadcast today, and then if there's any time left over, we'll probably go back and do a quick summary of the entire chapter to get it all in mind once again. But until then, we're going to take a close look at 1 Corinthians 13:13. Thank you for joining me on this Monday, April 18. Thank you, those of you whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. Here's the final verse, a pretty well-known verse to most people. It says, "And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now the first thing we recognize is that there's something that continues even whereas other things do not. Something abides. Something continues on. We were already told that other things do not. When that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. Some things do not abide, but other things do abide. In fact, we are told there are three things here that do abide, namely faith, hope, and love, and of those three, the greatest is love, the subject of this chapter. So back to these three enduring qualities. These abide. These, and in my Bible, and I think in most Bibles, you have the word now. These now abide. And now abide faith, hope, and love. Now there needs to be understood in a temporal sense, that is, now as opposed to later. But now, right now, as Paul is writing, these three things abide. Now, the question is, if these three things abide in the present, do spiritual gifts not abide in the present? That would be the implication. That's not an implication that some people want to consider, but that would be the implication. If presently, let's use the word presently instead of now, if presently these three things abide, faith, hope, and love, then evidently there are other things that, though they are present now, are not going to abide. They are intended to disappear. They are intended to fade away. So something is designed to abide, and it's present now, and it's going to abide from now, from the time that Paul is writing this in the first century, on into, well, to the end of the age and actually into eternity. It will abide. And by implication and maybe elucidation on what has been said previously in the passage, there are evidently other things that will not abide. Now, abide these three, but the other things that we've talked about in this chapter will not abide. They're not expected to abide. They're not intended to abide. So the question is, do spiritual gifts fade in the present? And it seems to me like the wording of verse 13 makes that case. It certainly makes a very strong implication in that direction. Answering the question that came up earlier in the chapter, when it tells us that these things will pass away, and the question is when? Do they pass away in the first century? Do they pass away at the coming of Christ? Which doesn't seem to be that clear at the time it is first stated. But now we come to this last verse, and if we look at it carefully and think about it and sift through it and camp on it and dwell our minds, allow our minds to dwell upon it for a serious moment or two, we realize that this seems to support the idea that the other things, namely the spiritual gifts, are already beginning to fade away when Paul is writing this. Now abide these three. Now, the other things do not abide. But what are these three abiding qualities set apart from everything else? They are faith, hope, and love. Those three. They abide. What is faith? Well, of course, I don't think we need to dwell on that one a great deal of time. Faith is believing the Word of God. We cannot be saved without faith. We cannot come into a right relationship with God without faith. We cannot please God apart from faith. Faith is necessary for salvation. Faith is necessary to live the Christian life. But faith will not end. Though when we get to heaven, we will have sight. We will be able to walk by sight rather than strictly by faith. Faith doesn't end. Why? Because faith is believing the revelation of God, and we will continue to have more and more revelations from God on into eternity. We aren't given a great deal of details about what eternity is like, but it seems pretty apparent that what we're going to be doing is learning ever more about God Himself, and because God is infinite, then there is new revelation to learn about Him forever, eternally, infinitely. It's an astounding thought. Our minds can't fully grasp it because we just don't have anything like that in our world. We don't have anything like that in time and space where we dwell. But that's the reality. We're going to spend eternity learning more and more and more and more and more and more and more about this infinite God, this incredible God, this marvelous God. And that will never come to an end. That's what a great deal of the delight of eternity will be, as we are continually astounded at the unfolding revelation of who God is, and we learn more and more and more about Him. But of course, as this revelation comes to us, we will exercise faith. We will believe what is revealed to us. And in that day, without any mixture of doubt, because we will be entirely sanctified. So our faith is going to be perfect, it's going to be complete, it's going to be unhesitating, but it is going to continue. Now abide these three. Faith, hope, and love. What is hope? Well, hope is a future expectation. Hope is looking to future realities, but coupled with faith, it, as it were, pulls those future realities into the present in such a way that we can enjoy them now. So we can think about heaven now and we can hope for heaven, not in the sense that I hope I'm going to make it. You better have a more steadfast reality than that, a hope that is steadfast and sure. Not in that sense, I hope I'm going to make it, but that this wonderful future reality I can think about now, I can dwell on now, I can enjoy now, this hope about future expectations, which, because they're based upon the promises of God, and we believe the promises of God, then these are certain expectations. But these future realities we can pull into the present, and it enlivens us, it encourages us, it energizes us with this wonderful hope, and again, hope abides. Now abide these three: faith, hope, and finally, love. And we're told the greatest of these is love, and we've already combed through this chapter to learn what love is all about, the 15 statements that describe love for us, and it's not what a lot of people think it is. What is love? Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, does not, or is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That's what we are told about love. Now, I think you can realize that the full development of this love can only take place in eternity. Here in time, we're going to struggle with these things. Love suffers long, that is long-suffering, but sometimes our patience comes to an end now, but it won't in eternity with our entire sanctification. So love suffers long, it is kind. Again, that kindness of Christian love brings changes to our lives here and now, and we grow in kindness as time goes on, but we're never as kind as Christ, and we'll never be, not now ever as kind as we will be. But in heaven, we'll be perfectly kind. That means in heaven will be the full development of this love. And so, on and on through the 15 statements. But you get the idea. Love abides forever. And in heaven, we will love with a perfect love. So, now, abide these three: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love, because it encompasses the nature of God, who is love. We are reflecting that nature. And because it endures forever, and perhaps it alone endures forever. And therefore, love is what the Christian life should be now. Perfect development awaits then, but serious development, significant development should be going on now in our lives and should be developing in our churches. And if you have trouble with this, you can't seem to find any way to lay hold on this and to see that reality in your own life, then what do you need to do? Go to Christ. Go to Christ. Trust in Him. Ask Him to do within you what you cannot do for yourself. And then serve Him faithfully. And ask Him to help you to develop a Christ-like love, to focus on that which is most important. Because the most important element of all of these is what? Love. So that's the one we should be working on most intently. And may God help us to do it. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.